This is an iHeart podcast.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on what has been an amazing Wednesday. Remember, if you missed any part of the show, you can download it on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So we're going to talk about a couple things. American families still struggling. A wonderful opportunity for the Trump administration. But first, we've talked many, many times before about how one of the best forms of anti-communism is just enforcing the law. You don't have to go outside of the law. You don't have to do what they do and invent crimes. You just have to enforce the law because they're fighting a revolution against our country, and a revolution cannot be fought lawfully. That's just not how it works. It's just a simple basic fact. If you're going to fight a revolution against the country, you have to break the laws of that country to fight a revolution. Our founding fathers, they were not lawful. They were not following British law when they fought the revolution. You can't do it. You understand? So Democrats, they've been fighting a revolution for a very long time in this country, a revolution to destroy this place so they can conquer it. They know they need people to break the law. They know oftentimes how to run right up to that line, but then don't jump over it when it comes to encouraging the street communists to break the law. And they also know how to use elite communist language that will encourage street communists to break the law. I will once again, Chris, grab that old audio of Jayapal, the one we've played many times before. If you'd like to know exactly what it sounds like when an elite communist is encouraging street communists to break the law, this is the kind of language they use.
We might call this getting strike ready. I think of it as getting us strike ready or street ready. And part of that is understanding our own strength. And as we develop that strength, being able to assess our risk tolerance, because we know that risk tolerance increases as the severity of the situation increases.
Yeah, we got it. Strike ready, street ready. What's your risk tolerance? This is a member of Congress not so subtly encouraging communist street animals to break the law. And this goes beyond Jayapal. The media speaks like this all the time. Sometimes they're covering for an obvious animal. Sometimes they'll create this fiction of desperation that we're up against Nazi Hitlers. Democrat politicians do this. The media does this over and over and over and over and over again. There is an encouragement to break the law. And sometimes, like I said, they'll come right out and say it. Other times, most of the time, the elite communists know, I have to stop just short because then I might break the law. An example of that is this lady, Delia Ramirez. She's also a member of Congress.
We have to continue to resist, and this moment demands courage. It demands us to understand that we must obstruct and do everything we can to oppose any of these authoritarian actions against our cities.
Authoritarian, that's great. It's authoritarian, but you get what I mean. She's talking about ICE. Listen again. What she's saying, she's talking about ICE coming in, arresting and deporting illegal immigrants.
We have to continue to resist, and this moment demands courage. It demands us to understand that we must obstruct and do everything we can to oppose any of these authoritarian actions against.
The result of this endless rhetoric on the news, members of Congress, over and over and over and over again, the result of it is you have Democrats in the United States of America who reside in blue areas. They only hang around people who talk like this. They only watch on TV people who talk like this. They listen on the radio to people who talk like this. And they have become amazingly comfortable with breaking the law. Shockingly comfortable with breaking the law. Remember the dude? Remember the dude in D.C.? When we had Border Patrol agents walking through D.C., assisting ICE, walks right up to him. Right up to him. And this is in the middle of the street. If you see the video, everyone has a cell phone out. Everyone's filming it. It's not like he snuck up in a ski mask. He's wearing his flaming pink shirt and strolls right up to him with a Subway sandwich and spikes it off their chest on top of everything else. How brazen is that? How bold is that? That's a human being who has been conditioned to break the law. And maybe the most amazing part was he worked for the DOJ. Of course, he's fired now. A DOJ employee saw these guys in uniform and walked up and assaulted one with a sandwich. And it leads you to stories like this. A tow truck driver in Los Angeles. ICE is and was in Los Angeles because it's a sanctuary city full of illegals. They're there finding them, arresting them, and doing what they need to do. This tow truck driver in Los Angeles, Bobby Nunez is his name, he's under arrest, and he's facing up to 10 years in federal prison. Why? He took his tow truck and towed away an ICE vehicle while they were doing the enforcement operation because he thought it was funny. He drove up to an ICE vehicle, filmed himself doing it and laughing, and towed away an ICE vehicle. Now, he might be talking to his family through glass in a prison for the next decade of his life. And that, of course, that's intentional on behalf of the elite communists. They have conditioned legions and legions of their street animals to break the law. To break the law, to be strike ready, to be street ready. They all say it. Hakeem Jeffries just said it last week. They all say it all the time. We got to fight the streets. We got to take it to the streets. We're going to the streets. We're street ready. That's what they're saying. Hey, animals, break the law. We'll get you out of prison if we can. Break the law. Can't win the revolution without breaking the law. What's your risk tolerance? How high is your risk tolerance? Your risk tolerance has to increase as desperation increases, and Lord knows we're desperate now. Break the law. They practically shout it from the rooftop.
We have to continue to resist, and this moment demands courage. It demands us to understand that we must obstruct and do everything we can to oppose any of these authoritarian actions against our cities.
Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, we might have the National Guard walking the streets of Chicago soon. The street animals, not you, the street animals in Chicago. What do you think they hear when they hear this?
Are you prepared to defend this land that was built by slaves, a land that was built by indigenous people, a land that is built by workers? Are you prepared to defend this land?
What do you think the animals hear? A call to action. Let's do some emails. Bronco the Vest Kelly. On Thursday, I'll be flying abroad to Communist Canada for my first ever business meeting. I was wondering, does the Oracle have any advice when it comes to business meetings, especially when it's my first ever, as he does when it comes to interviews? No, just show up drunk. You'll be fine. No, I'm kidding. Stop. I'm absolutely joking. But this is my best piece of advice for business travel. When you travel for work, there is, even if you don't like it, most people don't like it, especially when you're comfortable at home, when you get along with your spouse, when you like your kids, most people don't like it. But there is a sense of freedom that comes with it. You don't have to pick up the kids from school. You know, if you come to bed an hour later smelling like booze, you don't have to talk to your wife about it at all. Hey, did you drink last night? So what happens is, even as you get older, men and women, everyone's guilty of this. I've done it too. You tend to cut loose on business trips more than you should. Chris is nodding. Hey, Chris, Corey, how was Boston, fellas? Yeah, exactly. You tend to cut loose more than you should. Don't get me wrong. They did fine at work. But that's what you do. You're away from home. Keep control of yourself. That's my best advice on a business trip. Hey, you want to have a little fun? I'm not trying to be a Mr. Party Pooper. Have a little fun. Under control. Just because you're out of town doesn't mean you should show up disheveled, still with glitter on your face. Bad idea. Really, really bad idea. That's a bad idea. Getting a hold of Legacy Box to digitize your pictures and your home movies is the best idea in the world. It's a generational idea. Let me ask you, have you ever bought something that your great-great-grandchildren will enjoy? Ever. One time. All the money you've spent in your life. Legacy Box is that. It is a generational gift, not just for you, for your children and their children and their children and their children. Getting all those pictures hand digitized by my buddies at Legacy Box, that home movie digitized at Legacy Box, it preserves it forever for future generations. I would kill to hear my grandpa's voice. I would kill. He died, my grandpa Jack on my dad's side. He died before I could remember it. I don't know what he sounded like. If I had Legacy Box then, I would know. It's powerful, man. It's generational. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Wednesday. Do not forget, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And I am so excited for our huge event that starts on Monday.
It's the 2025 Crappiest Country in the World competition.
Who will win? I don't know. I don't know. Only time will tell. Halfway through the second hour on Monday, it begins. Jesse, with Britain's elite ignoring the rape of its citizens, do you think it will cause someone to rise up and take back their power? Well, rising up. It's hard to do when you're unarmed. Now, as we've said, the old Napoleon quote is very true. Quantity has a quality all its own. It's that old stupid analogy. How many five-year-olds could you beat in a fight? I mean, obviously, I'm assuming you could beat a lot, but there's a number, right? There's a number at which point you're not going to have any energy left. So there are a lot of very angry British people. They're rising up. They're taking it to the streets. But this is what I've tried to explain over and over and over again about guns and gun control and why they speak so passionately about confiscating your guns. And they know that they can't come right out and say, I don't think you should ever own any gun. So what the gun grabbers try to do, it's always incremental, right? How about just a red flag law? Well, what about just magazines over a certain size? What about assault weapons, whatever that means? That's such a stupid way to describe any. What about just a little of this? Just a little of that? Just a little of this? But the end goal is always the same. The end goal is you are defenseless and the government has all the guns. And when the government has all the guns, they can do whatever they want to you. A great example. You remember Australia? We talked about it many times during COVID. I love Australian people. Love them. I've known many in my life. They're all cool. Every one of them. But their government is evil, communist, and destroying the country. During COVID, they were picking people up and sending them to concentration camps, locking them in concentration camps for COVID reasons. Not vaccinated, not maxed, whatever. Locking them in COVID camps. They were dropping meals off on their front porch with the authorities patrolling. That happened in Australia. If I said that happened in North Korea, you're like, yeah, I get it. Australia. So why do you think Governor Tim Walz said this?
When they had a school shooting in Scotland or they had an incident in Australia, they simply made changes. They are just as free as we are. They still have gun ownership requirements, but they have made sure that they don't have these. And since they did those things, they don't have them. We are an outlier amongst nations.
Why don't we just do what Australia did? What is it about Australia do you think Tim Walz admires the most? What is it do you think he saw that prompted in him, man, if we could just do what Australia did? And look, he's not the only one to bring it up. This is a little old. It's from a couple years ago. Here's Randy Weingarten.
It's an epidemic that our great nation must solve. And how many lives will be shattered before we have the courage to do what Scotland did, what Australia did, what New Zealand did, what other great democracies do?
That's funny. The great democracies who took their own people and rounded them up and threw them into camps, those are the ones these people always seem to reference. That's what they have for you. Now, back to the UK, which is what we were discussing. It's heartbreaking because I love England. I do. I admit it. I admire it. I think they have a really cool history. I like a lot of British people I've met. Not all of them, but a lot of them I really do enjoy. Their food's garbage, but there's nothing you can do about that. I like England. I think it's a cool, cool place. And to sit and watch it be overrun on purpose, their Democrats, their Labour Party, their communists, imported all these barbarians from Muslim countries. Now the people are preyed upon. And if the people even raise a voice on social media, raise a voice, they are thrown in jail. The cops show up and throw the people in jail. And what can the people do about it? Not much. If it is, and I'm not saying it is, I'm not there, I'm not gonna fight on someone else's behalf. If it is revolution time, you're fighting it with kitchen knives. That's the bottom line. You're fighting it with kitchen knives. If, and I pray to God I never see this day, and I pray most definitely my sons never do, if it's ever revolution time here in the United States of America, we're going to have a bunch of people with AR-15s here, with all the ammo you could want, NVGs readily available for everybody, suppressors, body armor. If the American people ever rise up and say enough, our government's going down, Jack, down quickly. When they have guns and you don't, that's a tough hill to climb. People keep saying it's time for a revolution. Fight a revolution. Okay. Well, when the government has big guns and you don't, being right, being passionate, only takes you so far. That's just a fact. All right. I'm going to talk about something a little bit heavy and then something wonderful. We'll try to mix in both here in just a second. Before we do that, I want to talk to you about making sure we are fulfilling our obligations to veterans, those who fell in combat, and to first responder families, those who die. I believe, as I'm sure you do, we have an obligation to care for the ones they leave behind. Not just a nice text message, a word of prayer the day we find out when we have the sads. I'm talking about real legitimate care. How do you do that? How do you begin? How do you even find them? Tunnel to Towers is our route to do that because it's all they do. They track down Gold Star families. Fallen first responder families. Fireman dies in the line of duty. Cop dies in the line of duty. Iraq vet didn't come home. they find the families and they pay off their mortgages. Remember, they built them an entire community in Florida. That's what Tunnel to Towers has been doing with our $11 a month. Let's keep giving. T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yes, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. Remember, if you miss any part of our show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So I'm not going to spend a while on this at all, just a couple minutes. I just wanted to, again, point out that, yes, lots of things are going well. Lots of things are going better now than they have been going. Certainly better than they were going under the Biden administration. There's no question about that. But this, back to school shopping will put a third of Americans in debt. One thing that has not changed is inflation. It's not rising the way it was, and obviously, praise God for that, but it hasn't been going down either. It hasn't gone down. The standard of living you had before COVID, you don't have anymore. You are at least 25% poorer now than you were before COVID. We see it in everything. We pay it in everything. Our power bills, our clothes, our food, our everything. I just want to point out one, don't forget that there are people, and maybe this is you, there are people who are still hurting financially badly in this country. And look out for your friends. Look out for your relatives. If someone needs help that you know, help when you can. Don't forget that people are still burning it at both ends. Let's not forget about that. I have lived that life, and it is, I don't want to say soul draining, because maybe that's a little too much, but I'll tell you, that's what it feels like. When you can't pay your bills, man, it's hard to smile. When you can't pay your bills, it sucks. And there's still a lot of that in this country, and maybe that's you. And if it is, I'm rooting for you, and I'm hoping for you. And look, this is the cost we pay. People act like COVID is over. Lockdowns are over. Social distancing is over. But as I told you, at the time, I told you, we will feel this for years and years and years and years and years. The insanity of stopping your economy on purpose in response to a virus will affect generations in this country. Generations. It's not over. Oh, the lockdowns may be done. The stupid masks may be done. People aren't injecting poison in their arms anymore. All that stuff may be fine. But the American people as a whole still live lives that are not, that do not have as high a standard as they have grown accustomed. And it's a direct result of the insane response to this country getting a virus. Don't ever forget that. Shut down your economy and start printing money and passing $1 trillion bills and handing out stimulus checks. And now we look around and so many people are hurting. Why? I have a pretty good idea why. The United States of America decided to start spending like it was World War II in response to a bad chest cold. That's why. Ridiculous. And we pay for it to this day. We pay dearly. Many people pay dearly. I talked to a buddy, and I've seen a lot of evidence of this. I'm hearing this from places like Las Vegas who track these things. But a good friend of mine, as you know, I was selling RVs before I started doing this 7 years ago. And I have a bunch of friends still in the RV business. One of my buddies who runs an RV company, he said, this is something I'm noticing now, and it's never been this way. The most common RV he would sell, his bread and butter, would be a $40,000 to $50,000 RV. What is a $40,000, $50,000 RV? That's a middle-class family's RV. It's expensive, but you make a good income. You're paying your bills, couple cars, couple kids. Things are good. You want something a little nice to go out on the weekends. $40,000, $50,000. That's a middle-class family's RV. He said, Jesse, you want to hear something bonkers? We hardly ever sell those anymore. They sell two kinds now, mainly. Super cheap and super expensive. You see, the super cheap ones, oftentimes it's guys traveling for work, oil field work, things like that. Guys who need a place to lay their head. And then, of course, rich people are rich people. An RV that costs $150,000, $200,000, that's a home for most people. But the only person who can afford something like that as recreational is super rich. They're still out buying them. But middle-class people aren't buying RVs anymore. Las Vegas, I continue to hear this out of Las Vegas. I'm not a big Las Vegas guy. I used to go be stupid when I was in the Marine Corps, and I've gone once or twice since. It's not, I would say it's not my speed, really. The whole town smells like weed. It's gotten more dangerous. It's a very different place than the one I knew. And it's not like the one I knew was perfect, but it's just different. Anyway, but I know a lot of people who are in Vegas and around Vegas, and they tell me Vegas has transformed just that way too, that Vegas has become for the poor or the uber rich, and middle-class people don't go anymore. They don't take the young kids anymore. Don't go ride the roller coasters. Don't go see a show. It's either very ghettoed out where they're shooting each other on the Las Vegas Strip, or it's a bunch of businesses or super, super wealthy people up in the penthouse. It's gone. The vanishing middle class in the United States of America. The middle class has always been attacked by communists in every country. They've been under attack in this country for a very long time. And the things we did during COVID accelerated that. It's very sad. Bronco, let's do some emails. Do you trim any excess fat off the brisket before you inject it with those fancy thermometers into the fake pellet smoker? My pellet smoker is not fake. No, it's not, Chris. I would cut off all the excess fat and then wrap it in bacon, dry rub with brown sugar, black pepper, and then low and slow. All right, so I know I'm going to get made fun of for this, but when I make a brisket, I've told you before, I try to shop local. I try to stay with local small businesses wherever I can. When it comes to meat, I've discussed this with you before, I will either find a meat delivery company that shares my values, is very common now, or I will find a local butcher shop, a local meat shop. I actually try to avoid buying too much meat at the grocery store. We still buy meat at the grocery store. I don't act like we don't do it, but I try to avoid that. There is a local meat shop not far from my house. Very wonderful people. You're not going to see any rainbow flags in this little meat shop. It's wonderful. Chris knows what I'm talking about. If I have to get a brisket, which is rare because they're very, very expensive, but it's holiday special occasion, I've been begged by the kids long enough, I get a brisket. I go in there. I select a brisket. I ask them to trim it for me. What's wrong with asking them to trim it? Why do you shake your head, Chris? It's part of a service. There's no upcharge. Why do I have to know how to do it? And it's not like I can't trim it. I've skinned deer before. I've quartered an elk. I can do it, but I can't do it as good as they can do it. It's free of charge. What, Chris? What? I'm missing the point. It's part of the hobby. It's not a hobby, Chris. It's food. It's not like asking the bait shop guy to rig your hooks. That's totally out of line. Fishing is not fun for the fish. Fish are disgusting to eat. Fishing is fun because of the seclusion and the accomplishment you get and the feeling when you get. When I'm buying a brisket, and look, the money, the amount of money these things cost. You're dropping $100 on a brisket, pal. Minimum. You're dropping $100 on a brisket. What if I ruined it? What if I trim it wrong? Why can't he trim it? What? You can still render out the fat and get tallow? Chris, I am not living off the grid, okay? We have tallow in my house, a big tub of it. You know where I bought it? The grocery store. And that's what I... What? It's not super expensive either. Gosh, you're so cheap. Chris needs some chalk. That's what he needs. Actually, I'm the one not trimming my own brisket. Maybe I need to take up my chalk. I don't know. Look, my T levels are unbelievable. They're actually through the roof, but maybe they need to be higher so I can trim my own brisket. Maybe I need to up my male vitality stack. When I talk to you about a female vitality stack or male vitality stack, I'm talking about making your entire life better. Entire life. At home, you will be better. Hanging out, you'll be better. Playing with the kids, better. At work, better. You'll sleep better. An afternoon cup of coffee is a beautiful thing, unless you need it. You should never need it. You should feel good. When you get home from work, feel good. Get a stack from Chalk, natural herbal supplements, and change your life. You are 90 days away from a life-changing moment. CHOQ.com/Jesse. Chuck.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Wednesday. Do not forget, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So I have a great idea. It's a great idea. And this is for the Trump administration. I hope you're listening. You know that our health institutions have destroyed our trust. We talked about that last night. I'm not going into it again. And they're busy trying to earn it back by cleaning out the filth. We have amazing human beings like Dr. Jay Bhattacharya. Just love that name. Dr. Jay is out there putting out statements like this, a little different than we heard under the Biden administration.
I think it's really healthy to have transparency about what the drug companies that were involved in Operation Warp Speed know. It's also really healthy to open up a discussion, an honest scientific discussion, uncensored, on the evidence on the COVID vaccine.
We know RFK Jr. has been cleaning house. We know the CDC director only lasted a month. The new one, Susan Monterez, and she got the boot. Well, today, we got this headline, and in my mind, this creates a wonderful opportunity. Headline, more than 1,000 current and former HHS employees sign a letter calling for RFK Jr. to resign. Almost every agency, it says, Center for Disease Control, FDA, NIH, that's National Institutes for Health, called for Kennedy to resign. So everybody is saying fire them. No, not yet. What you do is you have to think several steps ahead. Don't fire them immediately. Take this letter and send this letter out to every single federal employee asking them if they want to put their name on the letter calling for RFK Jr. to resign. Anyone who answers yes, fire them. You think you're going to catch 1,000 people, 1,000 dirty communists, and get rid of them. This could be 50,000. This could be 100,000. Let's think ahead here. This is an opportunity. Send the letter out and ask for people to sign their names on it. Go through the names, any current employee immediately fired. Government cleanout continues apace. How about that? What, Chris? That's brilliant. I don't know why you shake your head at that. Another thing, kind of a small story, but worth bringing up really quickly before we get to headlines. Putin and Xi and Kim Jong-un, you know, North Korea, Russia, and China, they're all having a big summit. They're having a big, one of these big meetings, if you will. Trump put out some statement, you know, I know you're collaborating against America type thing, you know, trolling them, but that's what they're doing. They're having a big meeting. What can we exchange militarily, economically? What how do we join together? All that stuff. But Putin and Xi were walking, and there was a hot mic situation. And what were they discussing? Organ transplants and immortality. Xi Jinping said at one point in time, and I quote, in this century, people are expected to live up to 150 years. Putin responds, organs can be continuously transplanted. Humans could become immortal. This is how, don't just think about this as Xi and Putin. This is how elites see themselves. And more importantly, it's how they see you. Who's that witty person on the radio who tells you they see themselves as kings and queens? Not presidents and senators, not prime ministers, most definitely not public servants. They see themselves as being above you in every way. Royalty, super important. You, me, we mean nothing. They mean everything. And these types of people, they're all through American politics too. If they can just continuously kill new people and harvest their organs so they can stay alive forever, they will. The whole history of the world shows that's how kings and queens think. That's how kings and queens operate. And this is yet another reminder to you to stay armed because it is the equalizing factor. Kings and queens in the past were able to pull off all sorts of evil things because they were the only ones with armies and swords and shields and spears. In America, it's not that way, and thank God for that.
And now...
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Trump administration weighs declaring a national housing emergency. I don't know. Everything is declared an emergency anymore. Everybody declares an emergency for everything. In my opinion, the Trump administration has already begun the work of taking care of the affordability of housing. That's what happens when you deport people. You want affordable housing in this country? Deport 60 million people. Wages will go up. The price of everybody's house and apartment will go down massively, and everybody wins. Just get the friggin' foreigners out. Census data shows massive drop in immigrant workers after Trump crackdown. Now that is how you lower housing prices. Analysts robbed repeatedly in D.C. doesn't understand why Trump cracked down on crime. Let me remind you of the little tale I've told you before. I sat at a table with a filthy communist woman from Chicago who called Brandon Johnson BJ. They had a nickname for him. And as the topic of violent crime was brought up, she told the entire table, well, if you come to Chicago, you might get mugged, but you won't be targeted. The level of mental illness with these communists is beyond comprehension for normal people. Trump pledges U.S. support for Poland amid Russia threat as he welcomes Naraki. Oh, like Poland has ever had to worry about Russia before. Rubio says U.S. cooperation with Mexico is at a historic high. Yes, it tends to do that when we threaten them to give up cartel leaders. Anyway, we will be back tomorrow to have some more fun. That's all.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.